Oh, hey, everybody. Welcome to another one of these. Ooh, this microphone is cold. Talk about tool time. Talk about plane flying. So I'm on my way home from workshop number 3, on my way home from the airport. 3 down, 9 to go. 1/4 of the way through. This would be way less exciting of a countdown if it was, you know, if I lived there or whatever. Sometimes, don't you just feel like sometimes... Last night, the quote of the day, I think, was Lydia said something to the effect of, like, you know, talking about a story and how the character is a problematic female character. And that's, like, a compliment from her. That's, like, one of her favorite things, which I agree with. I very much like non-aspirational characters. And, you know, she said, what's good about those characters is they feel real, because in life we make choices and we always make the wrong choice. Like, always. And that was very true to me. I was like, I agree with that. I tend to agree with the idea that we are presented with a lot of choices and we're almost always making the wrong choice. And then sometimes you kind of get punished for it and sometimes you don't. For example, was it the wrong choice to not move out to Oregon with Poonmaster Flex? Probably. And am I being punished for it at this point? Yes. Yes! Found a very effective way to punish me for this. Me and the world thought it over together. What would be a way to punish you for this, Pete? And we came up with, what if it was, you know, you were going out to Oregon, where she lives now, every week for 12 weeks. How is that for a punishment? And I'd say, you know what? You got me. You got me. But, so yeah. You make the wrong choice and then you get punished. I guess maybe when you make the right choice, it just seems like good, and you don't really think about it that much, right? You don't think about... Oh, what a good choice we made. Like, I have taken some time to celebrate that Poonmaster Flex and I, rather than going to Vegas, turned around and came home and spent the weekend together just in town before moving her out to Oregon. And I bring it up more than anyone. I mean, really, the only person who can bring it up is her. But I'm just like, man, we made the right choice. Like, I know it's not even on a level of, like, we made the right choice of not going to Vegas because, like, I don't know, something bad happened there, or just like, ugh, probably all the running's not that fun anyway, you know, or like, the casinos smell like cigarettes, so I don't want to go. But the reality is, it was a good decision. And I'm happy about that. So there you go. Pete's worst person of the week is another parent. I feel like there's going to be a theme here. Parents, I have a request. When your kids are on the flight, when they're doing the thing where they're like playing with the tray table or the armrest and just like deploying it and putting it back up and letting it fall down and putting it back up, that is super fucking annoying to everybody else, most especially the person who's in front of your kid, but it's super fucking annoying to everybody else. So let's not do that. I know you've got a limited number of things and you're like, well, I want to let them do what makes them happy, but this is a great time to be like, so there's other people in the world. And when we do things like that, we really annoy other people in the world who have done nothing to deserve this annoyance other than, you know, just exist. Like, maybe this is something, you know, you should get punished, right? Like, they seat the babies on the plane. And then you get seated in front of the small child if, like, you know, they took your cell phone away on another flight. They're like, your next five flights, I don't care if they're this week or over the next 50 years, your next five flights, you're sitting in front of a fucking little kid or a baby. And we'll roll the dice. It could be fine. Baby might sleep the whole time. Little kid might be well behaved. But you're taking a risk. They should also, I think, like, seat families and babies, like, in special rows. And then the rows in front of that, if they're not punishment rows, you should get something extra. Like, you should get, I don't know, they're like, free booze if you sit in this row. Because then you're like, well, that'll make it a little more tolerable, I guess. Something. Or just, like, if they don't seat people in special rows, just be like, hey, if you sit in front of the babies, you get some free booze or something. There should be something. I just think it's weird that, like, you fly on the airline and it asks your birthday, but it's not, it doesn't seem like that has any effect on, like, where you sit or anything like that. Weird shit. This flying and traveling on the train is some weird shit, man. I saw a woman spreading today on the train. Woman spreading, though, is different from man spreading. It's not sitting and spreading out so that no one can take the seat. The way the chairs on the train in Portland are set up, it's, you know, two in a row, and they are facing forwards or backwards. So one chair is like a window seat that's up against the wall, and one's an aisle seat, right? And I saw this woman who was sitting, spent her whole time in the, she kept sitting in the aisle. And the train was very full, but she insisted on sitting in the aisle. So there was, you know, no one could go past her. Or you'd have to go past her and sit at the window. She'd have to, like, get up and let you in or let you put your butt in her face. That's woman spreading. Occupying the outside seat so that no one sits next to you. There you go. Also, I gotta say, riding the train, you're like, I mean, I could see why some people might be like, I don't really want to sit next to anybody, so I'm going to just take my chances here. I always want to see the picture of the person who took the picture, because I'm like, well, yeah, maybe you look like you hadn't showered in like 3 weeks. Maybe this is a protective, much as you have adapted by having a protective stench, maybe they're adapting by, you know, spreading out. Anyway, that was woman spreading. That's, you can tell I'm very passionate about the subject. It was a long flight back. It was very bumpy. The same parent, by the way, who was letting her kid fuck with the armrest for, like, the whole time, was also letting her kid, like, walk around the cabin during this really bumpy portion when the captain was, like, refastened seatbelts and, like, all the flight crew had to sit down again. And this flight attendant lady had to get up and be like, he needs to be buckled, like, and in a seat. He cannot be walking around. I know he's a child, but, like, come on. Blech. So there you go. That's my worst person slash plane rant. I finally, for the first time in my life, I got my TSA pre-check, you guys. So I walked through the fucking security line easily. Now, you don't have to take off your coat, you don't have to do that, but you have to, like, put your phone and stuff in your bag. So I, of course, have my iPod, my watch, my belt buckle. You go through a metal detector instead of the scanner, the body scanner. I don't really have a thing about the body scanner, because I just don't think, I think my nude body is very average, so I don't know. I can't really imagine somebody looking at it for nefarious purposes, or if they did, like, whatever. I don't care about that. But the advantage is you can go through with, like, shit in your pockets. It's kind of like olden times security. Not olden times, like, Old West security or something, but just more like pre-9/11. You go through the fucking metal detector, and as long as you're good there, you're good. So that was exciting. I did that on both sides, and the line does go extremely fast. It's $85 for 5 years. So far, And they're saying, like, you don't always get it on your ticket, but it's like a 90-some percent chance. Also, I guess sometimes the lanes are closed. Although, in my experience, the lanes have been closed at times when there's basically nobody in the airport. So there's no need for it anyway. I mean, it wouldn't help you out that much. But it's $85 for 5 years. And so here's the upside. I thought it was $85 a year, which I was like, well, maybe someday if I was like a businessman and had to do a lot of business and I was flying like once a week, that would be worth it, right? Which is why I got back into it, because I was like, well, I'm kind of a businessman who flies once a week now. So there you go. But 5 years, if you flew, let's see, let's say it saves you about 20 minutes. So it's an hour every three times. So, I mean, if you flew like four times in the next 5 years, it probably works out to be pretty worthwhile. And if you fly more than that, it's more worthwhile. I'm also told, this is all rumor, but I was told by somebody that, you know, like, if I go on vacation with Poon Master Flex, I buy our tickets. She also, there's a chance she'll get it on her ticket too, because sometimes people just get it randomly. I think this is their way of being like, oh, fuck it. Like, we got this whole open lane. We can't just, like, funnel everybody through this shit, right? So anyway, it could work out in favor in that way too. And if, you know, if I do buy the tickets and it's not on hers and it's on mine, I mean, that's fun in its own way, right? Because then I get to make the fun choice and I'll probably wait with her in the long security line. Even though she, like, assembles and disassembles a lot faster than I do. But, you know, what are you going to do? It's kind of weird because I haven't been living quite enough life to have a whole lot to talk about in some ways. Because it's like I pack my work week into 4 days. Then, you know, get up, get on a plane, and arrive in Portland, go to the workshop, leave the workshop, sleep like 6 hours at Poon Master Flex's place, and get up early to catch the train and come back. You know what I mean? It's kind of like a black hole of time between when I left and when I got back. But that's life. I did have something that I found. So I was looking online to see, like, can I take a sandwich through TSA? Because I've got this whole new, you know, bring food through system. Because, like, all right, so at the Portland airport, it's not that bad to buy food. Because one of the things they do there is, at the airport, if you eat at a restaurant in the airport, supposedly everything costs the same as it does in the city. So, like, if I eat at Burgerville, the prices have to be the same as they are in the city. So they can't just charge you, like, $18 for something that they would charge you $5 for. Denver has no such policy that I'm aware of. It just certainly doesn't seem like it. It certainly looked like, I think I was looking at getting an Inta juice or something like that, and it was, like, $8, and I was like, I don't think so. I don't think for a liquid I'm going to pay that much. Thanks. Even though liquids cost a shitload, you get that Ensure, that old man shit? It's expensive. It's way more expensive than whatever the solid version of that is, which I assume is just like human flesh. The vanilla Ensure is like definitely the color of human flesh and has a taste that is as much like human flesh, I assume, as it is vanilla. I mean, it's very generous. I like how these are the two main flavors of, like, powders and drinks and stuff. Chocolate and vanilla. And you know what they taste nothing like? Chocolate and vanilla. It ain't nothing like that. So anyway, I'm, like, looking on this TSA thing. Like, what can I bring? What can I bring through? What do they not give me a hassle for and stuff like that? Because, you know, I'm trying to save a little bit of money. I don't want to just buy... This is one of the expensive things of airline travel, right? Is because you go, you park, you fly, you buy food, because it's like, you don't really have a choice. For example, you don't really have a choice of buying food if you're flying 5 hours. If your flight time is 5 hours, All right, you got to get to the airport. You should be there like 2 hours early, right? So you're talking about going 7 hours without eating anything. I mean, that's crazy. That's a long ass time. And you have to buy something, you know, they don't fucking serve you meals on the plane. Like, if you fly Southwest, they give you pretzels and shit. If you fly Frontier, they're always like, oh, you can buy stuff, which I'm like, oh, thanks a lot. What a great opportunity you've provided me. Part of what I hated about airplane flight was that during the flight, there wasn't enough opportunity for me to spend money. It's got to be a thing for airlines, right? Because they're like, damn it, every innovation removes our ability to collect money from people. I mean, like, at this point, does anyone care if they're showing a movie on an airplane? Do they show movies on airplanes anymore? I gotta assume they do, but maybe it's like international flights. I think that's the only flight I've been on where they were definitely showing a movie was like flying to Europe or whatever. The rest of the time, they gotta just be like, oh, fuck that. Who cares? Everyone's got their fucking tablet and their phone. Like, nobody's gonna buy a movie from us, ever. We'd be better off having some kind of mount for their tablets to the back of the chair in front of them, and then you have to charge for them to use the mount or something like that. Every little thing. So I look on TSA, and I'm saying, I just look up, like, can you bring a sandwich through TSA? And then, you know, it takes me to TSA's Q&A. TSA QA. And A. And they're like, you can bring a sandwich, you know, you can bring lots of foods. And it has a list of, like, it's like suggested foods to bring on the airplane. And I was like, well, that's interesting. I wonder what they suggest, you know what I mean? Because they must be suggesting things that are alternatives to things that I'm not supposed to bring, right? So maybe this will give me some insight into what I should and should not be bringing and stuff for the future. So I look and, like, you know, one of the first ones is something like a sandwich. It's like a sandwich in a sturdy wrapper or Tupperware container, you know? And I was like, all right, well, that answers my question right away. I think the second thing was like about three ounces of hummus and some fresh vegetables. And I was like, look at you, TSA, being healthy. And, you know, embracing a Middle Eastern food. After our back and forth. That's nice. All right. I'm on board. Third thing. I want you to just imagine what you think the third thing would be. Or if you were writing this list, what would your third thing be? Because I don't know exactly what mine would be, but it would not be a veggie calzone. Now, why? It's just so specific. Like, why a veggie calzone? First of all, if they told me I could bring a calzone, I'm going to assume that I could put whatever I want in it. You know, it's like if someone said you can bring a slice of pizza on the plane, I would not expect that I would get to the security checkpoint and they'd be like, woohoo, what is this, Hawaiian pizza? Fuck you. No pineapple. Wouldn't you justifiably be like, whoa, wait a minute, like, I thought I could, what the hell? I mean, you said pizza, and they're like, yeah, we said pizza, not Hawaiian pizza. Hawaiian pizza is not pizza, it's Hawaiian pizza. That's why it's called that. This is just a crazy fever dream that someone had and turned into a kind of a food. So, like, to say it's a veggie calzone is weird. Also, calzone is, like, a weird choice of food, if you ask me. I mean, seems, like, messy, seems difficult. Also seems like something that most people don't have just laying around the house. Maybe they mean a Hot Pocket, but it's not like there's a fucking microwave in the airport, or at least not one I can use. I mean, that's, I assume, what all the restaurants are using. But, you know, why a calzone? Like, who was making this list and they got two items, which I thought sounded, you know, pretty whatever. Even with the hummus, I was like, with fresh vegetables, and I was like, you know, you could just tell me I can bring hummus, and I will assume that I could bring whatever I want to put in hummus or eat as a vehicle for hummus. Like, I got it. I mean, if somebody's looking at that and they're like, what is this hummus? substance they're referring to, and you had to look it up and whatever. It's like, oh, okay. I'm aware. So anyway, veggie calzone. I just thought that was so fucked up. What? Also, why wouldn't you say slice of pizza? Because if I can bring a slice of pizza through security, I'm going to assume I could also bring a calzone. Because what is a calzone but a pizza slice with a dome on top of it? I mean, it's the same shit. And it's like, if things got desperate, couldn't they just be like, sir, we're going to have to look inside your calzone, if that's all right. We're going to have to put your calzone in the body scanner. And I'd be like, okay, do you want me to just put it on the floor, or do you want me to eat it in as few pieces as I can and then get in the scanner myself? I wonder if the body scanner would show if you'd eaten something. Or, like, what if I had something up my ass? Do you think that the body scanner shows that? Like, it's like, this is not normal. Something's going on here.
And then how do they ask that, you know?
I mean, I could see they're like, do you have any artificial whatever, this or that, but how are they like, is there something in your ass, like, in your ass? And then if I say no, are they like, well, I think you're lying, because I think there is something in your ass, based on the evidence, which is this picture of a thing in your ass, I think there might be something in your ass. I just don't understand. I mean, someone must have been bored at work, right? And they're like, how about a veggie calzone? You know, just coming up with foods. I mean, if you're saying veggie calzone, why not say taco? Because that's kind of the same thing, right? I guess maybe a veggie calzone is neater than I think. Maybe it's like the, you know, omnipresent pepperoni that's fucking up my calzones and making it a sloppy proposition. But I don't think that's the case. I don't think those pepperonis are helping the neatness, but I don't think a veggie calzone. I mean, I've had a veggie calzone. I know what it is. I know what a fucking calzone is. You don't have to tell me vegetable calzone. What a weird rule. It was kind of almost like hummus and fresh vegetables, veggie calzone. I was like, is TSA, are they trying to, like, promote, you know, healthy eating habits and stuff, which if they are, I mean, I guess that's fine. But, you know, one of the things that I don't like about when people talk about healthy food and stuff, right, is I think there's this mistaken, this is like, I think, a good case of awareness. I'm sure there are segments of the population they're not aware that, like, Flamin' Hot Cheetos does not make for a reasonable lunch. And there's probably a part of the population that does not understand why, you know, I ate nothing but donuts for breakfast and I feel like garbage. And it's like, no, it's because you ate nothing but donuts. But I think most people are aware of general nutrition principles. I think most people aren't aware that healthy food exists and what the fuck it is. There's some gray areas here. I think there are some people who think that, like, a sports drink is a healthy thing. And it's like, no. But I just don't, you know, it's like, with vegetables, why would I use vegetables instead of a tortilla chip? Because it's less delicious, I guess. I don't know. I don't get that. That's what I don't love about that. I mean, it's like, how do you not know that? I mean, I feel like I was in junior high and they offered us, you could just have school lunch, or as your entree, as your main course in your school lunch, you could just have nachos. And by nachos, I mean stale chips with, you know, that cheese that comes in a can. That, like, paint can cheese. So, like, this is what a school was telling me I could have. I don't think I thought it was healthy. I don't, you know, I wasn't like, this'll make me strong. I think it was like, well, this'll, you know, I won't feel hungry. And if they're giving it to me, I'm going to take it. But I don't know about awareness in this case. I don't know how effective that is. Or maybe it was like whoever was doing this job was just, you know, real on a health kick, right? Or they were like a nutritionist who was doing this on the side. Oh yeah, I kind of do like technical writing almost for TSA. Well, that's a cool job. What do you do? I don't know. I just like subtly try and encourage people to eat vegetables. I mean, this was like somebody's little thing that they're like, hey, why not? Why not? This is the thing. This is why things like veggie calzone being not only on that list, by the way, but third. That's a big part of this. It's not like veggie calzone was eighth on the list and I was like, well, I mean, we're starting to get down to pretty specific types of food if you want to get like eight in. And how many things do you have to list to before I'm like, I got it? Okay, how about just tell me what I can't bring? You know what I mean? No, you can't bring a jar of pickles with the liquid inside. Duh. It's just, to have that be right in the top, that really bothered me. It's the kind of thing that makes me crazy. Because then I spend my life trying to figure out how this happened and why. I want to get inside that person's head, you know? I want to know. I have to know. I have to know why and what they were doing and, like, was this an order from above or was this, like, part of some initiative they have or what?
What is going on? Why?
Anyway, there you go. Okay, that's all. Haha. I had this stuff with me on the drive to the airport, but I neglected to use it because it was very snowy on the road I took, and very slick. So it didn't seem like ideal podcast recording. I mean, I've done that before, but I guess, you know, it's like, if I die, my final moments will be recorded. But I guess this time I decided, like, maybe I'll just do my best to not die. And then my final moments can still be recorded, but they can be better than, you know, whatever. You can tell it was slippery, though, because, I mean, the roads were covered in ice and everything. And there were three or four cars along the way that were in the ditch, all facing the wrong direction. So you're like, okay, well, it spun around at least 180 before going in the ditch. Like, did at least a full 180 before kind of just coasting into the ditch. It's the same road that one time I was driving home from Denver Wrights. And I ended up on this road because it was super snowy. I think I was podcasting and got lost. And then had to stop podcasting because I was like, I'm in like a farmer's field right now. And this seems like a terrible idea. And so then I got back on the road and ended up on this road and was like, all right, I know how to get home this way. It's like a straight shot. I'm going to just stick with this. Going like 30 miles an hour and this car just blows off the road, goes through the ditch, catches air, and like goes through a barbed wire fence and there's sparks and shit. It was insane. And then, you know, me and someone else kind of pulled over and then this other person like went up to the car and everything and then got back in his car and all the cars just drove off. So I was like, all right, I guess this person's okay. Or okay enough. I mean, it was nuts. There's, you know, it's something that's weird about cars. It's like sometimes it seems like cars are more invincible than you would think, right? Like, you know, you hit something and it's just like, well, the car's fine. Or like, you can treat it not so great. I mean, I don't think my mom got the oil changed on her old car, like her old car, ever. I don't think she ever did that. I mean, it must have been a decade between oil changes or something, which seems impossible. Maybe she was doing it, but if she was doing it, she was doing it like 1/5 as much as she was supposed to, right? And yet, it still like ran and everything. Like, how is that possible? It doesn't make sense. But then other times, Like, some horrible biatch hits your car, just dings it in a parking lot, and you're like, and smashes one of the panels, and it's just all crumpled and looks like crap, and you're like, how did it not... I still haven't forgiven this person. If I were to make, like, a list of people, you know, enemies, it would be this person. I'm trying to remember her name. It's Patty or Patricia something. LeGault. Pamela. Pamela LeGault. LeGault. So if anyone knows who that is, was like, she fucked up my car and then didn't pay me or anything. Because she's a bad person. So I don't think I'll ever forgive her. Why would I? I do sometimes. I do want to, like, find where she is and send her a letter and then just tell her I've forgiven her, but it's taken me this long. So then she, maybe next time she'll think twice and be like, I bet she doesn't even think about it anymore. You know what I mean? I bet she's not like, ooh, I really, because she must have hit my car pretty hard. I don't know why she was going that fast in a parking lot or what she was thinking, but she must have hit it pretty solidly. And so then, but you know, I'm sure it's not in her life anymore, but it's in my life because every time I get in, and here's a really weird thing. So I go to look at, I go into Target or something like that, and I park, and then I'm coming back to my car, and I see it, and there's a dent on the other side, like a huge dent like there is on mine already, on the passenger side, there's one on the driver's side. And I'm like, holy shit. You've got to be kidding me. And then I get closer and realize that's not my car. That's like the same car. And it's got a very similar dent, but it's on the other side. So I was like, well, maybe it's the car's fault. I can't argue with the two pieces of evidence. I mean, I could, but I'm not gonna. I mean, I can argue with Veggie Calzone being on a list of things you can bring on the plane. So for me to say I can't argue about something is just a lie, isn't it? I mean, that's just a goddamn lie. But, interesting evidence of, you know, a world that exists beneath our own. Beneath, around, within. A world that exists in a, in a way and somehow related to our own. There you go. What a deep thought, huh? I am very tired. Have I mentioned that I'm extremely tired? You know what sucks, too, is like 3 in the afternoon is a terrible time to be tired. Because it's like, it's not even, if it was 2 hours later from now, I could be like, all right, you know what, man? Go home, take a shower, eat a dinner, and just get in bed and just be in there. You'll be all right. But it's not. It's still a little too early for that. Like, if I did that, and you can't take a nap at 3 in the afternoon. You cannot initiate, oh, I'll sleep for a couple hours. Oh, okay. So you'll sleep from, like, 3 till 8 o'clock, and then you'll wake up and not sleep the rest of the night. Good plan. Good plan, buddy. There's a bunch of cars still, like, on the side of the road. Not, like, in the ditch, just pulled over. I don't know what's going on out here. A little thunderdome-y. Do you hate when you go to a... Like, do you hate the way I hate it when you're at a four-way stop and you're stopped and you're... Just, or a two-way stop. And you stop and you're just waiting for another car to go by. And they kind of cruise by slow as shit. And the person in the other car gives you kind of this shitty look like, yeah, you better stop. And you're kind of like, yeah, I did. I mean, I don't think I even feigned like I was about to move. And yet just felt like this guy was looking at me like, well, for once you've made a good choice, other motorists. Idiot. Also, it's like they're just wasting your time. I'm like, hey, maybe you should just pay attention to where you're going. Now that you've established that I'm not moving, don't turn your head and see if, like, even if I floored it right now, I don't think I'm going to get off the line fast enough to smash into the side of your precious car. See, now we're in the phase of tired where I'm just turning into a dick. Your precious car. Like, it's so precious. It's probably not. It's probably no more precious than Gabrae Sidibe in her finest role. That might not be true. She might have been better in American Horror Story. I never got into American Horror Story. I found it weird. And not in a fun way. It was just, like, weird. Like, the first season, it was just doing this thing that I don't like in a movie where it's told from the perspective of people who don't know what's real and what's not. And I don't like that. Because then you're watching these things and, like, it gets to cheat you all the time. Because it gets to show you what the characters are seeing. But so I don't know what's happening and what's real and what's not. But I kind of assume most things aren't real. Because I'm watching a thing. This is what's weird, right? Like, if I'm watching a thing, I think it's hard to put me in that character's shoes. This is what's strange. In writing, I don't... Here's like a question that a lot of writers will ask. It's like, do I think I should change this story to second or third person? Or like, do you think the right thing for this story is first, second, or third person? And someone kind of asked a question like that in the workshop last night. And I thought Lydia was totally right, where she's like, well, sure, like, I've done it, you know, I've tried different ways and stuff. She's like, I almost always write in first person because that's just what feels right to me. She was like, but I think that if you're writing something and it's in the wrong person, like, you feel it. Don't you feel it? Like, can't you just feel, oh, this needs to be this way? And Chuck also said something that was really good, which is, when you write a book in first person, you can move into second and third person, you know, using various devices or the narrator. If it's in first person, the narrator can be like, you do this, you do that, right? Or you can move into a third person perspective by, we were talking about the book Carrie, right? And it's got like a newspaper articles in it. So you could move into that, a newspaper article, and that becomes kind of a third person outside of what the narrator knows thing. But if you start in second person, you can go to third person, but you can't go to first person. And especially, you know, most people don't write in second person a whole lot because I think it gets annoying pretty quick. I've seen it done right exactly one time, which is Patrick DeWitt's Ablutions book. That was a good one. But if you're in third person, you can't move backwards. So basically, you can't downshift. You can only upshift. You can't go down beyond your sort of core narration. So that's like an argument in favor of first person, right? Is because you can always shift into the others, but if you start in the others, you can't really shift into first. So I forgot what I was talking about that. Oh, yeah, okay, so a movie. Like, when I'm watching a movie is almost never first person. There was that one... God, what was that called? It was like... It looked like a shitty action movie, and it was filmed in the first person. It's called, like, Max Danger or something like that. Danger Max? Danger Mouse? Something like that, and it was all supposed to be filmed in first person. Which, even that is kind of a cheat, because, like... Okay, you're playing a first-person shooter, like the type of video game. I can still see my arms, and I know those are not my arms, because my arms are in front of me holding a controller, not holding a gun. And my arms aren't tired. And, like, it's a weird cheat first-person, but let's just accept it. That basically never happens in movies, right? Like, once in a while, they'll shift... And they'll do this in a movie. They'll shift to first-person perspective. So, like, I think they do this a lot. Like, let's say a character gets drugged and is waking up from a haze. And then they're looking. And it's sort of like you're seeing what they're seeing from their perspective. But then it almost just... Almost always just snaps into... you know, a third-person perspective. So I think almost all movies are done from a third-person perspective. Or at least predominantly a third-person perspective, even if they play with it throughout the movie. So I think it's difficult to... I think trying to show a hallucination from a third person perspective is kind of weird and difficult and doesn't make sense for me as a viewer. Because all it really does is the hallucinations aren't that exciting. They just make me ask, like, well, is any of this real? Is some of it real? Or is all of it real? And because it's, you know, they want to leave the doubt, you can be sure that not all of it is real. You can also be relatively sure that not none of it is real. It's got to be some real and some not real. But basically, then, all you're doing is going through this story and trying to figure out what's real and not real, instead of paying attention to what's going on or being sort of entertained and swept away. Like, you're just kind of existing outside of that, trying to solve this mystery. It's sort of like, I think, a good, like, mystery novel, right? The way you have a good mystery novel, in my eyes... Now, I'm not, like, a reader of this, and traditionally, I think it's different. But in my eyes, the reader wouldn't be trying to solve the mystery. They'd be reading the novel about how the mystery was solved. Like, if I'm sitting there reading a novel and trying to solve it before the sleuth in the book, I think that just takes me completely out of the story. Like, that's just an that's like a crossword puzzle. I mean, a crossword puzzle is not technically reading. It involves reading. You have to read words, but I wouldn't say it's like, what did you read today? Oh, a crossword puzzle. And I tried to figure it out. I think it's like, you could have a mystery, you can have something in there. If you have something that is mysterious, it should be, in retrospect, put togetherable by the person reading it, right? Like, once the reveal happens, I should feel like, I think I could have got that if I'd have been paying more attention or trying to. But I wasn't, because I was swept away by the story and, like, enjoying the story of it enough that I wasn't just sitting there putting my concentration on trying to solve this mystery. It's kind of like, you know, if you went to see a stand-up and all you were thinking about was the transitions between jokes. It's like, well, if that's what you were doing, then you probably are a stand-up yourself and or didn't enjoy it a lot. Because you probably, you know, you weren't, like, swept up in the jokes. I would argue the jokes probably weren't that good. Because you don't think about that. Like, someone sees a good stand-up afterwards, they say, like, I remember this and that, but the interstitial parts, they don't remember as much. So there you go. That's my thing about American Horror Story. Then we tried the hotel season. I don't know why. I feel like a prude. I just don't like watching sex on TV and in movies. It just looks very fake to me. And maybe it's the same thing. Maybe it's because it's, like, all third person and not first person, and that's, like, super different. I think it's funny, too, because people will watch, like, so many movies and shows and stuff have fairly explicit sex in it, and it's like, well, that's fine as long as they have their clothes on. Or, you know, we can't show a dude blasting cum in someone's face, but we can totally show them in a bed, like, flopping around. And I think I can't help but think, like, I'm watching this hotel thing, right? And it's like Lady Gaga and some guy and some other dude or chick, I can't remember. It was like a three-way thing. And I was just like, what a weird thing that would be to, like, there's just a bunch of people in this room, and then they're like, okay, so now you're gonna be pretend to be banging this dude, and action. And it's like, or, you know, all right, and now you're gonna just make out for a while, and we're just gonna film it from a bunch of different angles, and action. It's just such a weird thing to do, and I just didn't find it. It didn't seem realistic. It didn't seem scary. It didn't seem sexy. It didn't seem anything. I mean, I don't know. It just didn't do anything for me. I am not a fan. Obviously, it's not for me. But I just, you know, both of the seasons that I tried turned me off almost immediately. And then I tried to push through, but I just couldn't get into it. I just, that kind of thing. Can't do it. Cannot do it. Can't start, won't start. Or can't finish, won't finish. Something like that. Can't something, won't something is the pattern that I'm shooting for. All right, folks. I feel like I'm totally out of energy. Like a battery that has been drained. What an analogy. What a powerful visual that is. Like a battery that's drained. And you know how a drained battery looks exactly the same? And you're just like, God damn it, and it's a minor inconvenience because you pop it out and put in another one. Boy, does that express how tired I am. What a beautiful job you've done, Pete. Good thing you're traveling to Oregon to go to this fucking writer's thing. You're clearly gleaning a lot. Glean. Gross.